I want to begin my sermon this morning asking a question, but I need to check out something first. It is Sunday, Labor Day weekend. Are you alert and awake enough for a question or not? Well, how do you read that, Jimmy? Where did you go? Is it okay? It's a little iffy. That's how I was reading that. Well, if not, kind of get ready. No, seriously, this is a good question. I will conclude my sermon in a very few minutes with a much better question. This first question, you really need a while to think about it, but here it is. What difference does Jesus make in your life Monday through Friday? Now, I know the religious correct answer. Oh, well, he makes it where we can one day all go to heaven. Now, we all know that. But now let's move a little more practical here and now. Like, seriously, like Monday through Friday, what difference does Jesus really make in your life? Well, I've been thinking about that. And some days back, I asked Jennifer I selected a group of people, all of which are Christians. So that makes my sampling not the best in the world. But I asked her to send an email to them and say, Pastor's working on a sermon, and he would like you to answer the following question, and I'm going to compile all the answers, Jennifer said, and I will give the pastor the answers, but I won't give him who said it. That way they felt freer to just be free. And so she sends the email out. They come back. She gives me the list. Let me just read a few little things this group said. My life has completely changed. I feel love and inner peace that I never imagined could exist. Another, I don't have to face any trial alone. Another, knowing that God goes before me and whatever I deal with in life gives me hope. Another said, all the difference. Jesus gives peace that steadies, quote, all the rocky boat rides, close quote, in my life, knowing that I will, quote, dock safely in the end, no matter what. Boy, that was a great way to say that. Another, life today is almost constantly stressful and stormy. When I look to Jesus instead of myself, there is peace, no matter what. We probably all could write that answer at times. Another said, Jesus gives me hope and purpose for every day of my life. Another said, my life is peaceful, knowing that in God's hands, not my own, I'm okay. And the list is right. I was thinking late yesterday afternoon, in fact, early evening, I thought, you know, these are good answers from good Christian people, but wonder what would have been the answer. Like, say, last night about 8 o'clock, I thought about doing this. The spirit thought about doing this. The flesh talked the spirit out of doing it. Do you ever have that problem? I thought about going over to Walmart. No suit, no tie, just go over there. Most folks coming in wouldn't know who I am. And just kind of get lost in the store somewhere. And as I see people stroll along, say, hey, could I ask you a question? What difference does Jesus make in your life Monday through Friday? Can you imagine what kind of answers I would have gotten? I probably would have gotten more stares. People said, where'd this coop come from? They might have called security. I don't know. And I'd have gotten some good answers, but it would have been a more honest sampling. But this morning, I'm not at Walmart. I'm here. Most everybody, maybe everybody here is a Christian. If not, I pray you will become one today while there's time yet for you to do that. But I'm just asking you, it's an honest question. I've been asking myself that. What difference does Jesus make in your life Monday through Friday? Well, had we asked the Apostle Paul that, he gives the answer in Philippians. Would you open your Bible to the book of Philippians? He answers it in 12 words. He said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Look at it in Philippians in chapter number 1. I wait a moment for everyone to find their place. Philippians chapter number 1. Look down in verse 21. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. While we're in that verse, if you look, if you circle in your Bible or underline, circle or underline the word live, and circle or underline the word die. And notice they're only separated by a comma. I was thinking about that during the week, so I was looking at this verse. I thought, you know, that's very true. Life and death are just really separated by a comma. Today, we hear someone's healthy, doing well. A few days later, a few weeks later, we learn they've gone to be with the Lord. Life and death. The moment we're born, we're journeying to death. And so when I look at that verse, at what Paul said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It is a very, very insightful thing that the Apostle Paul says. Now, as you read the book of Philippians, which Paul wrote, and we'll talk more about that in a moment, or if you go over in Acts chapter 16, and we'll look there in just a moment, because in Acts chapter 16, it tells us about Paul being in Philippi and the experiences that he had there. And of course, when he wrote the book of Philippians, he was in a Roman prison 10 years after he had been in Philippi, the church that he founded. And all the things you read, one thing is obvious. To the Apostle Paul, Jesus made a difference in his life through every experience, every encounter. Now, with that said, I wish you'd get your bulletin, and let's just kind of go along here this morning, and let me mention three things quickly that I think you can relate very quickly as well. Number one, Jesus makes a difference in your life, and I'm going to say it this way, in your prisons. That's in quote. So you write the word prisons down, and you'll have it. And the quotes are already there for you. Now, I thought about how to say this, and I concluded, finally, this is about as good as I know. Let me explain. Put your bulletin maybe where you are in Philippians, but turn back to the book of Acts in chapter number 16. We don't have time to read much of this chapter, but at least you need to be aware. Acts chapter 16 tells us about Paul being in Philippi. Paul being in Philippi. In fact, if you look in Acts chapter 16, if you look down in verse number 6, Paul and his missionary team was about to go to Asia to preach the gospel. And in verse 16, it says they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And then in verse number 9, it tells about this vision that the Apostle Paul had about a man from Macedonia. Paul was going to Asia, and he has this vision at night that a man stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, Macedonia is northern Greece. It'd be Thessalonica, and then north Philippi. I've been there, both places. And so it's just complete opposite of where Paul and his missionary team had planned to go. And then verse 10 says, after he had seen the vision, immediately, of course, Luke wrote the book of Acts. It says we, Luke included, sought to go to Macedonia, concluding the Lord has called us to preach the gospel there. Well, as you read through the remainder of this chapter, he has three encounters in Philippi. Number one, he met this woman named Lydia, a very wealthy woman, seller of purple, and she didn't know the Lord. The Bible tells us God opened her heart, and she became a believer. And so, then after that, the Bible tells us down in verse 16 that, verse 16 and following, that he met this slave girl who had this demonic gift, and she would tell fortunes, and her masters would make great money from that. Well, Paul cast that demon out, and she came to know the Lord, and it messed up their business. Business got bad, so what did they do to old Paul and Silas? They drugged them, they beat them, and they put them in that Philippian jail. That's why they ever put in jail there. And then when you come down to verse 25 and following, It tells a story about Paul and the Philippian jailer. And you might want to mark verse 25, for we will come back there in just a moment. Now, think about the sequence of all this. In AD 52, Paul is in Philippi and he founds this church. And he winds up in prison. He finally has to leave Philippi. And 10 years later, he's in Rome and he's in another prison, the Roman prison. And while in the Roman prison, he writes this letter to the believers in Philippi, which you and I know as the book of Philippians. It was a personal letter to, no doubt, his favorite church. This church at Philippi is the only church that supported the Apostle Paul after he went from them. We read about that in the letter. And here's the deal. He's over here in Rome in prison, and he's writing to people back over in Philippi where he had been in prison. And when you read this letter, it's not long, 4 chapters. Think of it as 4 pages. It is filled with words, either joy or rejoice or a derivative from the word. 12 times in the book of Philippians, you read about joy. Many say that Philippians is the epistle of joy. If someone asked me to preach a sermon from a New Testament book on the subject of joy, I would immediately think of the book of Philippians. It's just filled with that. So we conclude this. Regardless of what prison Paul was in, somehow Jesus made a huge difference in his life. Now, let's think about something a moment. You know, as I thought about that, I thought about the truth that Jesus makes a difference in your life in your prisons. Now, you and I this morning are not in a prison like behind bars. But folks, listen carefully to me this morning. There are many prisons that people find themselves, and there are no bars involved. A physical prison. There are people, whether they be paralyzed or whatever the problem might be, that their actual body, it's like they're living in a prison. They can't do anything. They can't, you know, and I've seen through the years so many like that. Not only are there physical prisons, there are emotional prisons, disappointments, things that did not work out like you had hoped they would, discouragement, sometimes depression, anxiety, fear. I mean, these things can all be just like prisons. And the lesson to learn is that no matter what prison you find yourself, listen carefully, Jesus can make a difference like no person or no other thing. And from time to time, it may be this morning, there's some prison you're dealing with. It's just something going on in your family, something going on in your life. And it's kind of like a prison. No matter what it is, the fact of the matter is, Paul is a witness and a proof, whether in the prison in Philippi, whether in the prison over here in Rome, he had joy. You say, how much joy did he have? Well, look in Acts chapter 16. In his Philippian prison, it says at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns unto God. Jesus makes a difference when we face our prisons. And as a pastor, I've seen that over and over and over and over. I will not even go into the details that I went into in the early hour. But even this past week, I have prayed with people. I have met with people that are good people going through very different kind of prisons. And even as you do that, and you point them to the Word of God and give them other things that will help them, you just see the difference Jesus makes. So I encourage you this morning. Hopefully you're not in any kind of prison. But I know better. Most of us in this room would say, yes, there's a little prison right now here and here and here and here. You know, this, that, and yonder. I'm saying this to you this morning. Jesus makes the difference. And the Apostle Paul is proof of it. Not only that, but let us move beyond that. Jesus makes a difference in your life, in your purpose. If you'll go back to where we are in Philippians, if you'll turn back, please. Jesus makes a difference in your life, in your purpose. He sure did in the Apostle Paul's. If you look back in chapter 1, look at the last part of verse 20. He says, "Now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." Then he goes on to make this great statement, "For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain." But the last part of verse 20, that Christ will be magnified in my body, whether it be through life or by death. That word magnified, it's almost like saying we're going to give God glory. What does it mean? It means we're going to make God look good. You know, we talk about, I want to live a life that glorifies God. What we're saying is, I want to live a life in my words, my ways, everything about my life that makes God look good. We don't think that way, but we should. And that was the very purpose of his life. And that's the difference Jesus makes in our life. When we have Jesus real in our life Monday through Friday, the whole situation changes. Everything changes, and we want our purpose to change. Now, in 2016, the year we're in, I still make goals and resolutions. I know that's old time. It seems like you don't hear much about, like in January, we used to all make New Year's resolutions. I don't think there's as much of that as it used to be. I may be wrong, but I don't think so. I don't hear much about it. I think what happened, after a while, we knew we weren't going to keep the stuff, and we just quit even making them. Is there some truth to what I say? But I still am in the old school. I still preach with socks. You know, some of y'all didn't pick the point up there, but anyway. I just do some old things. But I always try to have me some purposes for my life. You know, we think about how we spend our money. That's important. But I'll tell you what's more important than how you spend your money is how you spend your life. Yeah. We don't think about that. One day, the Bible says we're going to stand before God at the beam of judgment, and we Christians are going to be judged by God whether the things we did in our body were good or bad. In our life here, we're going to be held accountable. And so because of, you know, that gets my attention. I write things down, and that's why I like a prayer journal. I can go back and things I prayed about yesterday, the next day I can go back. Things I pray today, I go back and look tomorrow. How am I coming along here? Well, I have three things that I wrote. I just want to share them with you. They're in my Bible that were my and are my purpose goals for 2016. And one of those is that my thoughts will be inspired by God. That's one. Number two, that my emotions will be controlled by God. And number three, that my will be instigated by God. Now, I would not make 100 on any one of those, but they're before me, and I'm striving to that. I want my thoughts to be inspired by God. All of my thoughts are not inspired by God, but my desire is they be. And God knows the desire of my heart. And when my thoughts are not inspired by God, I am aware of that. That's a good thing. Don't feel guilty about that. Feel guilty if you have thoughts not inspired by God and you don't even give it a thought. See, that's really a sad state. Now, Paul would say, I do believe, indeed. Here's my purpose in life. This is the difference Jesus makes daily. Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. So I'm saying to you, what difference does Jesus make in your life Monday through Friday? Number one, he is there to help you in your prisons. He'll help you to find your purpose. And then not only that, he'll make a difference in your life in your perspective, how you view life. Oh, this is huge, how we view things in life. Jesus makes a difference in how we view things. And the secret of the Apostle Paul was his perspective for life was the return of the Lord. The return of the Lord. If you look in chapter 1, look the last of verse 6. He talks about the day of Jesus Christ. Look in verse 10, the last of the verse. Till the day of Christ in chapter 2. Look down in verse 16. I may rejoice in the day of Christ. He's talking about the return of Christ. Look in chapter 3. In chapter number 3, look down in verse number 20. He says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also earnestly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Return of the Lord. In chapter 4, one other time, verse 5, the verse ends, the Lord is at hand. Paul's perspective on life was the return of Jesus Christ. Now, I know we believe that the Lord is going to return, but whether that's really our view of life and whether that's what keeps us going, we're so busy with all these other things that all these things kind of slip from us. And that's a very sad thing. And so whatever you're going through in life, the thing we must do is our perspective on life. You know, I've mentioned before, in the NIV is where I memorize my verses for my 10 verses a day, all memorized out of the NIV. And I think it's Psalm 16, verse 8. I know the verse, sometimes I forget the reference, but I believe that's right. But here's what it is. It says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With Him at my right hand, I'll not be shaken. That's been my life verse since September 2014. Since September 2014, that means 2 years. Now, my life verse changes from time to time because life changes. I'd encourage you to get your life verse. You'll just be reading through the Bible and you say, wow, I need that verse. Well, I need that verse. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. That word always is the big word. With Him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. See, that's the attitude the Apostle Paul had, that his perspective on life was the Lord is coming. The Lord's going to return. And when that ever really clicks, it could be today, may not. Could be tomorrow, may not, doesn't matter. We don't know those things, but we know this, he's coming. And when that becomes a perspective of our life, whatever comes into our life is very secondary to that. And that's the difference that Jesus makes in our life. Now, I began my sermon with a question. Here was the question. What difference does Jesus make in your life Monday through Friday? That was how I began. Now, I want to end my sermon with I want to tighten that question up. You could probably struggle around with that first question. See, I'm not sure I would know how to 100% ever know that I really answered that first question or not. It's a big old broad thing. What difference does Jesus make in your life Monday through Friday? Well, I could list things like they did and more, and they could. But here's this question. This question, you can get your hands on this one. And this is really the important one. What difference do you desire that Jesus make in your life Monday through Friday? Now that's the question. That's the question. You see, God knows our heart. The Bible teaches that. God knows our heart. God knows what's in our heart. And it's a very fair question. I ask myself, how much do I desire, that's the deal, that Jesus make a difference in my life Monday through Friday? And that could be a life-changing experience for you if you take it seriously. You won't make 100, but when you don't even have a desire to make 100, man, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. And I sure wouldn't want that to be what I put my feet in, that I don't even have a desire for Jesus to make a difference in my life. I hope your answer to that question would be this. Okay, How much do I desire that Jesus make a difference in my life Monday through Friday? And here's my answer, so that everything I do in my life will glorify God. Remember what that means, make God look good. That's how the students would say it. That's well said. If you go to students and say, hey, I want you to live your life to glorify God, well, they don't know what you're talking about. What that means is you make your life, you make God look good. The desire of my heart, the desire of your heart. That is the desire of my heart, to make God look good. In other words, I think of it this way. I sure wouldn't want to do anything to embarrass this church. I'm the pastor of the church. I wouldn't want to, I mean, that's horrible. You wouldn't want me to embarrass the church. I'm the pastor of the church. You say, well, how would, well, I mean, like, yeah, I go to the dry cleaners and they give me my trousers back with three creases down here. I wouldn't want to say, do you charge extra for three creases, or did I not just order one crease on both of that? I mean, you wouldn't want me to go in a store and just act ugly. Bless them out. Hey, I'm the pastor. You say, well, you can't be like that, pastor. You're the pastor. You've got to do better. Well, what about you? You wouldn't want to do anything embarrass this church. And we work at not doing that. But let me ask you this. Have you ever thought of this? I don't do anything to embarrass this church, but that's not, I would really not want to do anything to embarrass God. I sure want to embarrass my church, but that's not nearly as serious as embarrassing God. Make God look bad? No. I desire to live my life, and I feel you do too, in a way that I would make God look good by my words, my ways, and years, and attitude, etc. And if that desire is in your heart, the power of the Holy Spirit will help you. You won't make 100. It's in this Philippians book in chapter 1, verse 6, being confident, this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will complete it on the day of Jesus Christ. You and I will never be complete until the day the Lord comes back. So we're in the process of getting there. But we can desire to be there. And that is the important thing. I want you to bow with me this morning, heads bowed and hearts open to the Lord. Some of you this morning can glorify God. Some of you in your very body this morning can make God look good. By doing what, Pastor? By admitting that you are a sinner, by asking God to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life and make you a Christian. That's how. You just pray a little simple prayer like this. Say, dear God, I need you. I want you. And I ask you right now to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me a Christian. I trust you to save me, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Some others this morning, you say, Pastor, I've prayed that prayer, but I do not have total peace. I'm going to heaven when I die. Oh, I'm glad you came to church this morning, because you can leave here today with total peace that you're going to heaven when you die. Just say something like this to God, if this is you. Say, God, I may be saved, I may not. I'm just not 100% sure about this. But I'm asking you this morning, God, if I'm not saved, right now, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Make me a Christian. I trust you, Jesus, to save me. Thank you, Jesus. I've settled my salvation. Others of you this morning, like you just saw earlier, you can make God look good by coming for your baptism. Others, by coming to put your life in the church. You feel like this is just where you go to worship God. Wonderful. But you need to have a church also where you can serve God from. That's the beauty of the body of Christ, the church. You can make God look good this morning. So, Father, we're going to have invitation this morning. God, it's your invitation. It's not mine, God. They're not coming to me. They're coming to you, God. But what a beautiful sight this morning. Heaven looking down, seeing a boy, a girl, man, woman, family, making a decision for you, God. Even they're coming forward. makes you look good. God, thank you for opportunities we have to make you look good. May we use that opportunity this morning, God, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.